Welcome to the Kicking It With Ray podcast. I'm your host, Rainice, and I'm here to discuss all things reality TV from a black and brown perspective. From dating and marriage to competitions and everyday pop culture, I'll be diving into it all. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Kicking It With Ray. I'm your host, Rainice, and I'm here with Bree for another episode of Love is Blind Recap. We are doing episodes 7 through 9 today, which, of course, was the end of, what were they, Punta Cana? I think, either Punta Cana, somewhere tropical. The end of their little pretend honeymoon to them moving in together. Oh, goodness. So we're going to do it the same format where we talk about the couples one at a time to try to get through it concisely. And we're going to kick it off with Amy and Johnny. Okay. Bree, last time, this was our favorite couple. They were the least problematic. How do you feel now?
I mean, we're starting with them because they are still the least problematic. Mm-hmm. But this time, some real issues have come up, and honestly I think the difficult part is that this feels like a non-issue to me, but it is a big issue for them at this point. So the issue that is coming up is around sex and birth control. Mm-hmm. Now we know in the year of our Lord 2024 there are multiple options of birth control that range from hormonal to condoms to, there's just so many preventative methods, and it seems that this couple cannot agree upon one that works for everyone, which is why it just seems like what's going on. So Johnny really wants Amy to be on birth control, assumingly a pill, an IUD, something that is her responsibility, a shot, something of that nature. And Amy has not been on birth control, so does not want to at this time, or had not been considering it.
Even though her doctor already had recommended it for her being anemic.
Yes, but again, she hasn't thought about it, but there's a race on the clock because at this point, we find out that Amy and Johnny have not been intimate at that level.
And they really much want to.
Right, but because of that, and also, it seems they would like to do so before their wedding day. So there's a little bit of a timer on this. And fair, right? But I think there are ways to elongate this clock, and we keep talking about it. And it seems like the conversation around condoms has never really been brought up, which is like...
confusing.
Control step A, right? Like, you know, like step one. This is the one that they teach you about, usually.
It definitely is shown as if they just went straight from like, well, you take birth control, or no, you get a vasectomy. And it's like, whoa.
Yeah. Welcome to Health 101. Like, let's talk about how babies are made and other ways of contraception. Yeah.
Yeah. And there are articles out there saying that they did discuss condoms and everything, but we didn't get to see that conversation. And I would have liked to have seen how that went down, because what was the what was the reason to shoot down condoms? We were talking off camera about like the way that condoms are pretty effective if you use them correctly. Condoms, along with the pullout method, along with tracking your ovulation, possibly. Like, these are that I am 37 years old and I've only had one scare, you know, my whole life. I'm not always on birth control, you know, like it's very possible to not get pregnant if that's what you choose to do. You just have to know your body and know how to use things effectively.
Yeah. And also, I just think if they're more so curious about intimacy before marriage, right? Like, I'm not telling them to do it every day necessarily, but I think they could try it with condoms as a step one. Mm-hmm. Because I can understand, you know, birth control has side effects to it for many people. So that is a step that is a conversation that should be had with her doctor. Mm-hmm. Sounds like her doctor agrees with Johnny, but also it isn't Johnny's choice. I think Johnny can learn from Jeremy in this instance and take a step off of woman's wombs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think
That's the
that,
only thing he needs to take from Jeremy.
yeah. Well, and we shall get there in a moment. But yeah, I think that Jimmy can just take a step back on this, you know? Johnny can take a step back on this.
Agreed. Agreed. It's I hope that this isn't what ends them because I really want them to make it. It just seems like they are dancing around some very obvious choices. Everything else with their relationship seems to be going very smoothly. I even loved the whole thing they had about her being a crystal girl, which, but he was like,
Yeah.
"Oh no." She
Yeah.
was like,
I mean, honestly, I think they're so good for each other because she seems very flexible where he seems inflexible, but I think she can learn a lot from him. He could learn a lot from her. So, like, I think they are these opposite people who have a lot in common, who could learn a lot from each other on so many different levels. So, I am still team Johnny and Amy. Like, I am still a fan of these two.
same, still rooting for them to get married. The biggest issue I foresee them coming up is him meeting her family, because she already told us that that her parents interfere too much in her relationships and that she's easily influenced by what they say. So I'm kind of like, oh no, oh no. But I just think Johnny is so great that I'm like, he can win over her family.
I foresee him winning over her family.
I do too. I want this so badly for them too. So all right, we're
Yeah.
both still team. They're gonna make it at the altar. We can move on from this couple then. So
Yeah.
I was thinking, even though I'm not saying this couple is the least problematic, I think that this conversation should go next, only because their relationship ended on like episode 7.
Let me guess. Is it Brittany and Kenneth?
Yes. Yes,
Oh,
it
my
is.
goodness.
I have gone back and forth on them so much. I've contradicted myself, I've contradicted friends, family. Like, I don't know truly how I feel about this. Even rewatching it, I see different things and different sides each time I rewatch it and listen to podcasts and things. So I'm just like, I don't know what happened, but it went from 0 to 80 real fucking fast.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that is the idea about like my side, your side, the truth, right? And in this situation, it could be so blurred. But I also want to give a little bit of grace to both of them because they are so young, you know, in this situation. So I want to be careful with words like gaslight. I think those are thrown around a lot. I do think that Kenneth was intentionally obtuse in that conversation, if that makes sense. So I think Brittany was trying to bring up a very valid point, that at least from what the cameras portrayed, he was not really into her. She had asked for more physical touch earlier. It didn't seem like that had begun to increase from our perspective. And then she's now trying to say, I want that sort of physical intimacy, even though we're choosing not to go all the way, is what I was perceiving from her conversation. And he flipped it. I think he understood what she meant. I could be, you know,
So this is where
expand.
I get confused, because the conversation in the kitchen was very different from the conversation they had on the couch. Because on the couch, the right before the kitchen conversation, she says to him, "Oh, I know you're into me. I can tell." So some like what happened? I feel like so much must have happened that we did not see, because it went from her knowing that he's very into her. Like, well, we had the conversation on the boat where she's like, "I need more physical touch. You don't give me enough." And he thinks he's giving too much. Maybe he thinks he's being like, you know, too touchy-feely, and they're trying to abstain from sex. So he's like, you know, I don't want to touch too much. So her telling him, "Touch me more," to them being on the couch and him feeling like, "You don't react to me intimately," and her being like, "Yeah, I know you're very into me and I'm not reciprocating that," to now at the kitchen where he does kind of like flip it on her. It was really weird.
Yeah.
To me, it felt like a person who is trying to protect themselves because they feel like you're not into them. Like, I feel like they were both not saying something. Does that make sense? Like,
Oh, it does. I mean, let's get into it. I think our real opinion is that after that conversation with AD, they realized that there was a very interesting future in conversation that wasn't had. And I don't know if they kept trying, but I think that when Kenneth brought up the conversation about their future children being children of color, Brittany skirted that conversation. I don't think she really answered in a way that I would have left feeling like, yeah, you feel like you understand what's happening here and how to move forward.
which is why
She
his
basically.
reaction to her was, I have to see how you are in real time. Like, I'm just like, you're saying things, but I don't. It felt like he didn't believe her because of like the way she said it. Like you were saying, we didn't feel comfortable leaving that conversation. Like, this girl's gonna be great.
Yeah. It felt political, right? Like she was like, great question. I've been asked this many times. I've been prepared for this situation my whole life. Thank you for posing that. Like it feels like, you know, this sort of like background information that she's doing and saying that AD, I hope that AD was asking from a genuine space. I hope that AD understands the gravity of that. Cool. But are you ready for it?
Right.
And at no point did I think Brittany answered that in a way that was very direct. And I think,
Agree.
therefore, he had questions, right?
Yeah, that is such a good point. Like, she didn't answer it in a way that made him feel comfortable. And like, I don't know what she could have said that would have been better because I've never dated outside of my race before. So I don't know like what I would want to hear, but that wasn't it. I know that.
Right. So, you know, I think I'm open to brainstorm some better approaches, but I'm letting you know, let's take that one off the table. What she said was not a good one at all.
Sticking with the I identify as a white woman, you identify as a black man. Like, it was just you were trying too hard. And it's like, I want to appreciate that she does recognize that we are in a very politically correct timeline and she was trying, but it's very clear that he was going to have to do a lot of teaching. And I do think 25 is really young to be like, I don't want to teach anybody. You already are over it. But I also, I mean, I get it. I don't want to teach anybody either. So I'm not faulting him for that. And I think that it's important that what he said too was one of my good friends is gonna come, like he's gonna have questions. Or she, no, it was a woman. I think it was a woman that his friend was, but he was like, she's gonna have a lot of questions. And like, I don't think that her answer was would suffice his best friend he was mentioning. So
Yeah. And also, I take into account, it's not lost on me that Kenneth is a principal. So I could imagine what he's trying to do on camera as well is not be overly affectionate or sexual. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
Or
look good.
say incorrect things or be too emotional or be. So I could imagine. You know how he said he came in the house at 1:30, or when he knows that the cameras aren't around, that he might be a little bit more forthcoming because he does have to pay attention. If he's a middle school principal, there are some middle schoolers out there watching Love Is Blind, and they're like, I seen you, Mr. Kenneth, on Love Is Blind. And you
With
know,
shame
so
on your
he has to,
face.
he has to navigate in a very cool way almost, you know, where it's like, I'm proud of the image that I put out there.
So that was the other thing too. Kenneth, to be a principal at 25 is huge. Like that required a lot of focus and drive on your part. So I feel like he is the kind of man that when he's in work mode, don't bother him. Don't say nothing. Don't ask him nothing. Let this man get his work done. I'm not saying that he didn't fuck up when they came home by like communicating that with her, but I feel like he should have told her, hey, I have a presentation on Monday. I'm gonna be super focused, hyper focused this weekend. Once I get all my ducks in a row, then we can revisit this. And I feel like he didn't do that. And so then she was trying to She's trying to move them in together and trying to talk, and he's just straight up ignoring her. Now, whether that was camera edits or not, unclear. But the way they portrayed it to us made it seem like he was just flat out ignoring her. And that's hurtful. That is very, like, I would be upset if my partner was just flat out ignoring my questions when I'm trying to unpack our suitcases and get us, like, situated.
Yeah, I mean, that's the difficult part with Love is Blind. You become, is this you? Is this a bad week? I know it's only been, I've only known you 3 weeks, so one bad week out of 3 weeks, are we in trouble?
And
You
that was
know,
one of his arguments to her, because he said two different times, "You're upset about this one time that I did this thing. Are you going to hold it against me if I mess up one time in a week? Like it's been a whole week of great things, and there's one thing I did wrong. You're going to hold it against me." I didn't like the way he did that because it was to me that wasn't an acknowledging that you messed up and you're apologizing for it. It was saying you're wrong for being mad at me for messing up this one time.
but that's what I've consistently felt that Kenneth does. He principles her, like, what I'm hearing you say is, and you
It's
know,
therapy speak. It's principle.
yeah.
It's condescending is what it is.
If you want to be frank, right? Yeah, I think, and he's good at it. So I think that's where it gets like, do you know what you're doing, or are you trying to handle this situation? And that's what he's good at, is handling it.
So ultimately, I feel like Kenneth knew that Brittany was not, well, Brittany at some point got the ick, whether it was being attracted to him or the conversations they were having, I don't know. But she started pulling away physically, and he sensed it, and he retaliated his way as well. But he also got the ick because at some point he realized that he was going to have to teach this white woman how to raise black kids, and he didn't want to do it either. So they both were not feeling each other for separate reasons. And instead of having those conversations, they both just pulled away. And now we're left with this confusing ass conversation that felt like they were leaving a lot on the table. And the most unlike uncaring, like cold as hell breakup I've ever seen in my entire life. That
Oh
breakup.
my goodness. Yeah, I think that's why it was easier to be on Britney's side throughout that time, because he was like, let's just hug it out, like, talk to you later. But I also, you know, Kenneth has been a lot through a lot in his life. So maybe that doesn't penetrate as deep, or maybe he'll feel it later, or maybe it's not expressed the same way. But yeah, that felt pretty cold. I don't know.
It was very cold. Even if he's just trying to like protect himself, I just don't think that's how you do it. And that's a youth thing. That's they're young. He doesn't know that yet, that you coming off cold doesn't really do you any favors. It was a bad look for sure.
Yeah, and then calling the friend right after, like, yeah, I get it. We
Over.
all went out of this, but it felt very intense.
It was weird. It was very weird. It that yeah, like you said, that's why it was hard to be on his side. But I will like I think my whole thing is what you said earlier, that her response to him was not what he wanted to hear. It wasn't what we wanted to hear as black women. So it probably went back that far, and it just wasn't shown the right way.
Yeah, and I think they just couldn't get back on the same wave. You know, when Brittany wanted him, he wasn't as into her as much. When he wanted her a lot, she wasn't there, and they lost their rhythm, they lost their wave. And then they tried to talk about it, and I think it kept getting a little bit worse, where they needed more action than more conversation. And unfortunately, friends, this one is not making it.
No, they probably needed a mediator for that conversation, someone to actually be like using the therapy words and not letting Kenneth like be condescending to her.
Oh,
So
that would be a nice layer, as opposed to Nick and Vanessa Lachey adapting something from Married at First Sight, where there's more therapists involved that can help coach and support.
yeah.
Yeah, that might help a lot of people.
Be amazing, especially one of our other couples, but we'll get there.
Oh,
Do you
I
have
think
anything
I
else to say about this one?
No, I mean, I hope they're both at the reunion because I think we deserve a little bit more detail around what was happening. Maybe some more clips, maybe some more maturity with time and space on what happened. And I'm hopeful for honesty in the reunion.
Yep, same. The only thing I'm gonna say right now, real quickly, just because I've seen a lot of discourse online where people are questioning Kenneth's sexuality, and I just want to say, like, that's not okay to do. Whatever he identifies as is what he identifies as, and we just need to leave it alone. Like, questioning someone's sexuality because you've never met a Black Southern man raised by Baptist women. That's what he gives me. Very like he has a way of talking that just reminds me of my friends who were raised by their grandmothers, and that does not have anything to do with his sexuality at all. And to question it just because you don't know people like that is weird to me, and it's not okay.
Yeah, and let to our knowledge, he liked Britney. That's
Yeah,
all we know.
so we
And
know, that's all
next
we see.
episode, yeah.
All right, so moving on. Okay, do you want to do AD and Clay next? Or, yeah,
I
like they were the least.
think it has to be them, right?
Yeah, it does. And this is the couple that I was like, definitely needs a therapist to come sit down and talk with them.
Or because I think, wait, no, is the next non-problematic? Would that be Jimmy and Chelsea this time around?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And barely, like by a smidge.
Yeah, yeah. Let's save AD and Clay.
You want to save them?
Let's go to Johnny and Chelsea
Kyle,
because you know where we're peaking at.
I feel like you got something to say.
About AD and Clay? No. We could do it in whichever order. We could stick with AD and Clay. I just like them a lot and it was intense.
I'm still on team. They're gonna make it to the altar, personally.
Yeah.
I thought there were a few issues. So we'll start like they're when they're still on the beach. You know, they're having like lunch or something, maybe early dinner together. And he gets real quiet, starts stacking the dishes, and they're just looking at each other. She's looking, watching what he's doing. He's just real quiet, real introspective. We find out later when Jeremy is talking to AD. Jeremy's like he gets he she he literally tells her he gets like that where he just gets real quiet. You just gotta give him a space to let him figure stuff out in his head. And she was like so relieved, like okay, good. I thought it was me. Like she's like freaking out. And it kind of like you go back and look at that scene because I didn't like the way they filmed it where it made it seem like she thought it was weird that he was stacking the dishes. And I was like, AD doesn't seem like the kind of girl who would just not say something if she thought that was weird. I feel like she would be like, "What are you doing?" But I also feel like she probably has a service background and is like fine with somebody stacking the dishes. It's not that big of a deal.
I think there was, I don't know what is up with Clay. He just does things that's like, where have you been? You
Yeah.
know, like the conversation wise. And it sounds like his mom has been to Martha's Vineyard, but he was like, oh, Martha's Vineyard's on the water. It's like, what have you,
You not ask her about her trip? Did you not see
did
pictures?
you
Like,
not see pictures or
very weird.
he goes
I've
there all the time, he said
been
to.
to Martha's Vineyard before, and on that trip, I did not make it to the beach at all on that trip. So I could see if she went and didn't make it to the beach, but I'm like, he said she goes all the time. So every time you went, you never went. She's also Guyanese, and I feel like they probably like water. They probably like being around water. So I can't
Okay.
imagine her just not going to the beach when she goes to Martha's Vineyard. So
Right. And then he's like, yeah, I never really. It's just oftentimes. And then, you know, he was slurping out of the bowl, which is something, but also I don't think here, maybe. I've never really seen someone do that.
it didn't bother me at all. I didn't even notice it. People kept talking about it, and I was like, "What? When did that happen?" I had to go back and watch it. I literally rewound it twice because when I was watching it on the rewatch, I didn't see it again, so I went back and rewound it. But I feel like a lot of cultures do that. Like I know in Asia, they literally pick up the bowls and slurp it. So it's very much a cultural thing.
Yeah, I don't know that to be true in Guyana, but
I haven't been
perhaps
there yet, so I
it
don't.
It could be true, like, because I've never really seen Alita do that. So, you know, maybe it's a thing, but you know, I've never been out with my Guyanese friends and they do something like that. So
I just wanted to quickly jump in here because we did text our friend Alita to ask her about Guyanese culture to see if that was something that was normal in their culture to lift up the soup bowl and drink from the bowl. I personally wasn't bothered by it, but a lot of people online were. So we wanted to know, is this a cultural thing? And she said it absolutely is, especially with the older generations. She said, but it's not something that you normally see done in public. So, it could just be a testament to how comfortable he was, speaking of Clay, was with AD, or maybe he just is used to seeing that and didn't think anything of it. But it is definitely a compliment to the chef, a compliment to the company he's with, that he would feel comfortable enough to lift up that bowl and drain it from its goodness. All right, back to the program.
you know, I think also where AD's background comes from, I think she enjoys a certain lifestyle because let's face it, if she's talking about she's been to Martha's Vineyard, it is a space for a certain Black background typically, right? So those sort of experiences, and AD is talking about traveling and being a part of the Patriots dance team during the height of their career. So she's been a lot of places and had a lot of different experiences. So I think there is, just in general, someone picking up their bowl and drinking out of it. You could see she does something with her eyes when she gets red flag alerts from him. So I think she's just kind of like, wow, what are you doing? I thought it was also she was ju it felt like she was judging the stacking of the plates, but I've seen it. That's usually people that are just trying to be helpful on clearing the table. So I wasn't too weirded out by that one. But then also he gets quiet. And then I feel like she jumped to conclusions with what he was trying to say. Also, when he came out of the quietness, like it sounded to me as if he was saying that he didn't want to mess up, and her prying led him to be a little bit more like, what do you mean by that? And he's very nervous to ha repeat some of his father's actions, which I think in general, Clay needs some therapy. He has a lot of moments where he goes inside his head, where he's very hard on himself. And, you know, I think there's a lot of healing that needs to be done around what happened with his mom and his dad.
I felt two ways about it, because on the one hand, acknowledging what your fears are is great. You need to know like what it is that you are dealing with so you can deal with it. But just saying, "Oh, I'm scared that I'm gonna cheat on you." What? Like that's not something that you should be scared of if you don't have a desire to do it. It's like it to me it's like, "Okay, we're not eating meat right now, right? We decided, hey, let's see if we can go a month without eating meat." I didn't say, or you didn't say, or the people who are on the journey with us weren't like, "You know what? That's gonna be really hard. I really love meat. I might mess up, so I don't want to try it because I might mess up." No, we were like, "Hey, there's a lot of health benefits too. There's a lot of good reasons to not eat meat. Let's just do it. Let's just go for it. And if you fuck up, then you fuck up." But that wasn't like our focus wasn't on the fuck up. Our focus was on the benefits and the excitement of planning our meals and things and doing this together and supporting each other. So it's weird to me when people focus on the negative instead of all the positive of a relationship. And he says that he's never seen a Black marriage that was healthy and good and where people didn't cheat. So I completely understand his issue there. I have a similar situation. So, but at the same time, I know that I have no desire to cheat. I have no desire to hurt somebody. So it's like I'm not ever scared of hurting somebody, even though I don't like, I don't really believe in monogamy. I'm very much ethical, non-monogamous. But I feel like if your desire is to treat someone right, then that's what's gonna happen. This whole like, "Oh, I'm just scared." It almost feels like he knows it's inevitably going to happen because it's just in his DNA and there's just nothing you can do. And it felt like he was warning her about it so that when it happens, she couldn't be upset because, like, she knew
this is, like, you know who I am.
Yeah, you knew who I was. You knew where I came from. And that's why I didn't like it. Because it was like, yeah, you're being open and honest, but what are you doing to get this out of your head? Because you basically have it set in your head that this is in your DNA and this is what's going to happen. And I don't fuck with that.
Yeah, well, also, he's setting himself up for failure because why are you staying out, you know? And I think little things like that demonstrate where you're at, you know? Because now you're opening the door. If you're not coming home at night, and I understand that it could be business-wise, but especially when it's early, you haven't picked up the patterns of being a fiancé.
And so that, to me, also didn't make any sense because he said that he stayed on the side of town that he was on because of work. Well, why not invite her to come stay with you then? If she's not working right now, then she couldn't just come stay the night with you there? Because that he throws that in her face later where he says she doesn't get it. She's not working, which was fucked up. Like, I don't know why she isn't working right now. I'm very confused on if AD officially lives in Charlotte or if she still is in Boston. And I don't get it. So if she's not working right now because she doesn't have a real estate license in Charlotte, I don't know. It's confusing. But he says that to her. And my immediate thought was then, well, why couldn't she come spend the night wherever you were? If she wasn't, like, work, I don't know. I was confused. But I loved that his mom immediately said, if someone is important to you, you make time, period.
Yeah. Also, someone help me out. Is Charlotte that large? Like...
I'm like, maybe his wherever he was on a not in Charlotte but somewhere like outside of it, I don't know, you know, suburbs and things.
Okay. Yeah, I just, you know, I just couldn't imagine doing something in Long Island and then being like, oh no, I'm not gonna make it home.
Yeah, just because I have to be back out here in the morning. I can understand you not wanting to come home because you have to be back. Like, if you were in Jersey or Long Island and had to go back home to the city and then come right back out in the morning, I can understand being like, yo, I have a place here, let me just stay here. But then if your wife or your partner is not working, why wouldn't you be like, come out here with me, come stay out here
or
with
work
me
from home? Yeah.
And then that way we can spend the night together even though I have to stay out here.
Yeah, no, it doesn't make sense at all.
Mm-mm. So it felt like an excuse, and that's why I'm glad his mom called him out on it, because, like, sir, what? No.
Also, there's been many a times where I've had to do something in Jersey, and I've still come home that night. And I understand that I might not have a place in Jersey, but I'm saying it is completely possible. And if I had a partner, I think I would go home at the very least I didn't invite them to where I was at.
Yeah. Like, I don't think that that's a good argument. Like, I remember when I started training in this part of Atlanta where I live now, I was staying with my aunt out in Peachtree Corners, and it's like a 45-minute drive without traffic. And I was dating somebody who lived closer to where I was in training, and I still, like, went home that night and I remember thinking like, damn, this doesn't make any sense, me doing this, because I could just stay out here for the night where he lives. But it was like, you go home, you go where you're supposed to be, like, you're where your home is. He wasn't my home. It would have made sense logistically, just because that's where I needed to be in the morning, but, like, go home. You know,
go home.
And so that's what I don't understand. It confuses me on his intentions. It just makes me feel like he's making excuses for when he inevitably cheats. And that's what I don't like.
Yeah. So what are you thinking?
I'm still rooting for them.
Okay.
I really want them to just sit down with a therapist, and because he said he was open to it. I would love to see them do it on camera. Sit down with a therapist, or not even, you know what? We don't even have to be in the session, because that's a whole other thing. But, like, you guys go to therapy off camera and then come talk about it to camera, you know?
Listen, I think we're on to something, that Love is Blind needs to add a little therapy in the mix. But then that would probably completely change the game. You know, that would probably completely change what's happening in this space.
Now, but yes,
I agree with you. I am still team AD all day, old Clay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that it's nice to see his mom be supportive in this relationship. I think he probably has a really close relationship with his mom and his sister. And
Oh, I wonder if he talks to his dad. I would love to see his dad come talk to him and be like, yo, don't be like me.
that's what the boy needs at this point. But, you know, he said his dad is moving to somewhere in Georgia, so he'll probably pop up in Charlotte. So maybe that's some next episodes. That would be really nice to have.
It would be. Okay, on to Chelsea and Jimmy. I have a lot of notes for them, but Chelsea needs to love herself more. It's my bottom line.
Yeah.
This
I don't
was.
even know. And it's very easy to remember that his name is Jimmy now because he looks so much like Jimmy Pesto. I wish I never saw that.
I
It
haven't seen
really
that.
is
Let me
bad.
go look. I gotta look that up, but I'll do that
Yeah.
later. So it started off just bad. Like them sitting in bed. This is the night after the party, and she is still like have still has him on the hook for his actions the night before. And it's not until he's like begging for her forgiveness that she's like, okay, I forgive you, which is just crazy because I don't think he was wrong at all. I still don't, but he is
Yeah.
like apologizing essentially for just making her feel bad. Then they sit there, they talk about their highs and their lows, and like this is just a moment of her just wanting to be his world. She wants to be the center of his attention at all times. So when he says that his low was biting his lip to make it bleed, she doesn't even acknowledge that. So throughout these episodes, he has told her, he tells her, it eventually ends up being like 3 or 4 times that he bit his lip so bad he was bleeding. She never ever acknowledges it. She never says like, I'm so sorry that happened. Let me take a look at it.
What were you doing when that
Where were you when that happened? Because I
happened?
swear that he said when they were walking back to the room, he was bleeding, and she doesn't react to it at all. There's like no nurturing response at all. It's very weird. But so he says that was the low point for him. And she was like, it wasn't our fight. That wasn't the low point for you, our fight. And he was like, no, because I think it was healthy for us. We worked through it, and it was a good learning moment. She's not satisfied.
Right.
She wants everything to be about her, to be like his world. Then she asks him his highs, and he says, when I was whipping you around in the, I guess they did an RV thing, I don't remember that, but he says that, and she is just upset again. Like it wasn't us being like intimate or whatever, whatever she says. She just wants,
Right, these pre-planned answers, like
like
Chelsea
Jimmy,
girl.
if you're not reading her mind, Jimmy, then you are wrong. That's how that whole conversation just felt. It was very weird.
Well, even when her friends came over, it kept escalating of Chelsea, just love yourself a little bit more. Because Chelsea knows that Jessica's hot. We weren't quite sure what Chelsea's opinion of Jessica was at this point, but she shares with her friends that she is a knockout, essentially, and that Jimmy finally has seen the picture shared by Jeremy. If we need to note that now, what a messy, messy boy. But we'll
Really
get there eventually.
is.
Jeremy, no good.
Right.
So essentially, Jimmy sees the girl. And the next day, Chelsea's like, he didn't even kiss me, and is exaggerating sort of his interactions with her. But once her friends are in the living room, Jimmy comes down. I think he's very adorably into her. He's like rubbing her arm. And I was paying attention because I was like, let's see what he does. He sort of like kisses her shoulders. I'm not saying that he kissed her on the lips at any point, maybe, but he's a bit affectionate with her. And I think her friends saw it too, you know. And if he's like that with her often, then I'm like, I think he really is into her. In fact, oftentimes he just seems really into her. I didn't think anything of it.
What it really comes down to is they don't speak the same love language, and it doesn't seem like they're having a conversation about that, because her love language is words of affirmation, I believe. Just from what we know of her, it seems like it's words of affirmations, and he doesn't do that very well. He is not great at communicating his feelings all the time like she wants. And I will say, she wants it more than what I feel like is natural or normal. Like, being told I love you every day all day is like, come on girl, like, calm down, that's not necessary. And had she, to your point, like, had she not found out that he saw Jessica's picture, I don't feel like some of this conversation would have happened. The whole, you didn't kiss me today, and then him being like, well, I did kiss you this morning. Like, it's like, she's just trying to make problems and is upset if things don't come out the exact way she wants them to.
She knows she doesn't look like Megan Fox, and she still has to deal with that demon, and it's so sad, and I want her to be released of it.
Yeah,
because I do think that Jimmy thinks that she's attractive. Mm-hmm. And I think he's interacting with her in a way that he feels is authentic. But if she keeps feeling like she is the second choice and acting that way, then I think she's going to end up pushing him away.
Yep. And I think this goes back to what she was originally telling her friends in the beginning. She tells her friends that Trevor was her number one. She also tells her friends that Jimmy was a hot commodity. So because they were like, oh, so he picked you over everybody else. This was a big deal for her. We said this last episode that I felt like Jimmy and Chelsea chose each other because somebody else wanted them, and somebody else was like higher on their list. So they felt like they were winning something by picking each other. And so that's why Chelsea is now so insecure, because she knows that he was not her, or that she was not his number one. And she also knows she had another number one. Now she's trying to force it.
Has Chelsea seen Trevor yet? Do you think saw the photo?
Well, not that we know of. It seems crazy. So I read some other people from seasons talking about how, like, once they get their phones back, they all look each other up on social media. So that's like a normal thing. I don't know why only Jessica is being talked about. Maybe they're just like, they cut that out. I don't know. So I don't know if she's trying to behave. Like, she already cheated the system by talking about what she looked like, quote unquote. So I don't see why she wouldn't go look up Trevor. You know what I mean?
Well, Jessica and Sarah Ann both get some social media action on this one. So after all these seasons, this is the first time I realized that people were all looking each other up. This season is messy, messy, messy.
And I will say, I don't want to say everybody was doing it. It seems like it's the couples who are not 100% satisfied with their choice.
I see what you're saying.
Like, I doubt Brett and Tiffany went and looked up anyone else. They were like, don't care, we're good.
Oh, I would have been looking everyone else up. I would have been like, what is going on in the boys' house?
We're nosy people. And so just like, I would not have been able to not look you up. Just like, we got to be best friends now. I talked to you, we had a great conversation. Like, let's be best friends now. Just something like that. Even with the show that I did, I literally was the one who went and found all the other people from all the other shows, found them online. I got the list from my publicist and literally went and like, let's be besties, you know, before the show. So I personally would want to as well, but I feel like it would be so disrespectful to my partner that we chose each other to look up my other connection.
Oh, I wouldn't be looking up just other connections. I would have been looking up Matthew. I would have been looking up, like,
you know what I would do? I would go look up the friends, like who were you closest to in the house? Oh, I'll go look them up. And then, oh, who are you friends with? That way I never actually type that person's name in. It just,
I'd be doing it with my partner, because some of those conversations are also weird. Imagine like getting out the house and hating Matthew. That'd be the first person I would look up. I'd be like, who was Matthew? He was insane to talk to.
Yes. Oh, speaking of Matthew, he'd had to delete his Instagram. Poor guy. He went on to Love is Blind's official page and commented on a post denying the story that they put out, like literally saying, I never walked out of any conversations with these women, that didn't happen. And then he talked about being sober, which I applaud you, like, you know, that's a really hard journey. I hope this experience doesn't like push him off the wagon or anything. But yeah, he was like, it was hard for me to connect with people because I was sober. So that his edit was clearly doctored and manufactured, and I hate when they do stuff like that. Like, I was not gonna like Matthew simply from the him telling two women to like the same things. You didn't have to completely create him into a monster.
Yeah, but I would love to hear more of his story. Maybe we'll catch him on something like House of Villains or
something. Like, and I believe Sarah Ann had even corroborated his story and said that he didn't walk out on her. So that, like, that story was just fabricated for laughs, which you got. Congratulations. Because it was great.
Well, Jimmy and Chelsea, let's come back to them. So they end up having an argument after the friends leave, talking about how Jimmy is not affectionate enough towards Chelsea and how she wants more. And he calls her clingy, which escalates this situation. And she ends up firing back and he ends up leaving. And then they continue the conversation in the morning. And I think that is that. They end up talking.
The conversation that night, though, that fight got crazy because like, you're clingy, and she's like, oh, it's clingy to cook you dinner and watch your favorite show with you, then fuck you. And part of me was like, yeah, kind of.
And then he was like, I wish you would ease it up on the sex, actually. Which was an interesting conversation as well.
Yeah, like, you could tell that Jimmy probably just wanted to watch TV alone. Probably wasn't like, oh yeah, come watch TV with me. Probably needed some alone time. But she was like, no, I'm going to go watch TV with my fiance because that's how she is. And I'm not saying these are bad things, but it seems like Jimmy is not good at telling her what he needs, which is some time alone. And she is missing him because she didn't see him while he was working. So she's trying to like over... It just, there's these two people who want, they have different love languages, want different types of being loved on, and she's smothering him and he doesn't know how to tell her in a nice way, because saying clingy is just not it, sir. That's just not
correct. Yeah, and then he ends up in a deficit where he has to be like, okay, you could come be clingy, you know, like, because he feels bad about what he said. But
it's a cycle. You say something crazy to her and now you have to let her do it because you hurt her feelings. Where it's like, if you went to therapy and y'all had a couple's therapists who could give you some better words to use,
we're on to something here. There's a continuous pattern.
Yeah, so I feel like with a therapist, they could get past a lot of their shit, but right now Chelsea is just kind of abusing him, like, verbally. And he's just, like, apologizing. Like, just, okay, I fucked up. My bad.
Yes. He is always in the red.
I don't think they're going to make it, more so because I don't want them to. I honestly feel like they would say yes just to prove people wrong, and they shouldn't.
I just think for Chelsea's sake, please don't make it to the altar, because I just don't know if she'll ever feel okay enough, you know? I think it is always going to come back to this. I don't know if there's anything that Jimmy can say that would make her feel comfortable. I don't know if there's anything that he can do that would make her feel comfortable. I feel like even if he spent every morning kissing her and spent every minute with her, she would want something else and something more.
Raising the bar.
And not in a way where I think she is clingy. I think she's looking for something in these interactions to fulfill a part of how she feels about how he first came out, which was let down and disappointed that she didn't look like Megan Fox.
Yeah. Do you think, because first of all, I don't think Jimmy is the kind of guy who just thinks of loving things to do on his own. He seems like the kind of guy who needs to be told what to do. But do you think if he was the kind of guy who, like, was coming up with things to do on his own, that would be what satisfied her, what finally, like, made her calm down? Because do you understand what I'm saying? Like, it feels like she's telling him what she needs, so then he's doing it, but it's not satisfying her because she told him to do it.
Right, but I think he really had the shock value of, oh shoot, you don't look like what I thought you would.
Yeah.
And then it took him some days to settle in, but then he's like, okay, cool. I like you a lot. And I think I'm good with you. And again, I'm with you. He doesn't seem like the type of dude that is overly affectionate, which is why he's okay with having homegirls like that. His close friends on the show are two women.
We got to talk about that too. I completely forgot about them too.
Yeah. So I think that says something about, you know, how he shows up in different spaces. So, yeah, I mean, I think he likes her a lot. I don't think he's giving her flowers and things like that, but, you know, good old Jimmy doesn't seem like he does that. She's going to have to tell him how to love her. And I think we always get upset when we have to do that. But if you want someone to love you a certain way, you should be okay with asking. And if they provide in that way, then so be it.
Yeah, I agree. You it's okay to tell someone how to love you. If you though are the kind of person that you need your partner to always be creating new ways to show you how they love you and they're not good at that, then that partner is just not for you, or you need to let that go because continuously being upset with it is going to like drive y'all both crazy. But so we meet his two best friends. They're two women who he's only known for 2 years. I'm not saying that you can't form best friendships in 2 years. It is very possible. We saw that during COVID. It can happen. I think it's interesting, though, that those were his best friends to bring on this show. These two women. I would like to know more about why it's these two. Why there was no male best friend who you've known for 5 to 10 years. Like, where are those friendships? I know when I had to bring my best friend on the show, it was during COVID and she wasn't able to fly down to Atlanta to do it. Then I had picked another really good friend here and they told her she tested positive for COVID the day of. We actually think that it was because she wasn't giving them the answers that they wanted. And so they were like, oh no, you have COVID, you can't film. That's a whole other story. So I ended up having to pick a friend who wasn't like my closest, but that we were filming on like a fucking weekday. Everybody has jobs. like it was really hard to find someone who was going to be able to do it and not have to work. And I'm not saying that she wasn't a good friend, but she definitely wasn't like you or, you know, any of the other people that I had originally gone to. So But she was definitely someone who worked more with the producers and told them what they wanted, more so than what my original friend was going to. So I was wondering if there was some type of situation where these were the only two women who could do it, only two of his friends who could do it. I don't know. It just was weird to me. I would not want to give my new partner the impression that I hang around with a bunch of very attractive people who I just met and could possibly have hooked up with. Because we did see a scene from the next episode where she's yelling at him like, you fucked her. I know you did. And I have a feeling it's one of his friends that she's accusing him
of. Oh, I was just thinking Jessica.
Oh, I don't think it's Jessica at all. I don't think Jessica would debase herself that way. I feel like that would be the stupidest thing Jessica could possibly do. And she's got a daughter and a reputation to maintain. I think that they are misleading us for a reason and that it's going to be about a friend. Because remember, so part of one of the conversations that they had when he met them was about how she's had boyfriends that had really close female friends and they ended up cheating on her with them.
Yeah.
So I feel like they left that in for a reason.
Yeah.
And it's going to allude to him having slept with one of these girls. Now, whether he did it or not, I don't know. Whether they mean during this time period where they are together or if it happened in the past and he just lied about it, I don't know. But that's why I'm kind of like, you didn't have any guy friends that you've known for a little longer that could tell you some fun stories of him as, you know, in the college youth days.
College youth days. Yeah, high school pal. Like, come on.
Because I actually don't know his background, but I thought that he had like been in Charlotte for a while.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, how do you feel about having best friends of the opposite sex in terms of how you introduce them to your relationship?
Yeah, I mean, I think earlier better, right? Maybe that's why he did it. because I think she might be easier with the bros than the girls. And if they are important to you, then you try to introduce like these are two very important women to me. Let me make sure that y'all are all good, right? I think it's interesting depending on numbers, right? Like if your guy is like the only guy with only homegirls, then it's like, wow, interesting dynamic. What percentage have you been intimate with?
And I feel like we didn't see that conversation. So I feel
You
that's
know?
why I feel like that's what's happening when we see her yelling is them having that conversation finally. And he's been like, oh yeah, I hooked up with one of them. Or I don't know. It's gonna be weird. And I don't have like one of my oldest friends since 2003 is a man, and we have you know him. We travel together. We do all these things together. Any partner I'm with is gonna have to understand that he is an old friend. But when we first became friends and we were in high school, I wouldn't have introduced him to a boyfriend to be like, oh, this is my best friend. You know, like we were still 2 years into our friendship. It definitely is weird. And you know what? I take that back because our freshman year in college, I did introduce him to a guy I was dating, and he thought it was weird that my best friend was a guy. And I was like, yeah, I guess that is weird. We'd only been friends for like 2 years at that point. So I can see why that would be problematic. And I don't know. I think that was a weird choice. But this couple needs to not be together. I hope they don't.
Agreed.
And that's really the end of it. Moving on to the last absolute train wreck of a couple, Laura and Jeremy.
Oh, goodness.
So we start off with them. He said that he slept on the couch after the party where he embarrassed her. And she says, like, if I say something to you in private, don't go repeat it back to the group, which just confirms that she did say it. The whole party, she kept being like, I didn't tell you to do that. I didn't tell you to do that. You did fucking tell him to do it. You threw him under the bus. Like, you did tell him to do it. You just didn't expect him to take you seriously. So that whole thing just really pissed me off, but I'm glad that they were able to work through it as a couple. I would have been like, nah, bitch, fuck you. You threw me under the bus.
They're just so interesting together. But yes, that was their first very awkward interaction, which once we got to the bottom of it, you know, they weren't as sure about their marriage either, because at the end of that conversation, Laura says something to the effect of, if you asked me yesterday, it would have been 100% yes that we were getting married. But if you asked me today, I'm not really sure, just because of how their interactions have been going. And then we continue that journey. Where is there anything in between?
Not really. They get home and go to his house, and it's a fucking serial killer's house.
Oh, yeah, he's a very, very neat man, and that's nice.
That house was immaculate. Like, and the
It
fact that
was
his
nice.
mother left a note on the table, I feel like his mom came in and like did it up, made it look, better than what it was. 'Cause that just doesn't, I'm sorry, it was a little too perfect for
Not lived in.
a bachelor where he just moved in there. 'Cause we do find out later that him and his fiance had broken up and sold their house like a month or two before the filming started for this show. So he wasn't even in that house long enough for it to be this like put together. So mom leaving a note on the counter tells me she got the key. She came in while he was filming and made it look,
Furniture.
yep, set it up nicely for him, which is fine, whatever. I don't have a problem with it. The house is clean. I love a clean man. It definitely, this was the one point in the whole episode where I was like, Team Jeremy.
Yeah, no, I think I believe him though, because he said how many Roombas he had in the house and all those things. So I think he just is a very neat person and nice. That's really nice.
Then during that house visit, we find out that Sarah Ann DM'd him. We get to read the DM, or did she read it? I think she might have read it later to Jessica. But basically, Sarah Ann is like, if things don't work out, call me. It's like, that was the gist of it in a much more hidden way. The way she said it was not just flat out.
Congratulations. I'm so happy for you and your fiance. And if things don't work out, you know where to find me,
Yeah.
is what I read it as.
Yeah, it was very fucked up. Like that, Sarah, that was not appropriate at all. I don't give a shit how you feel. You wait till they actually say no. Then you slide in the DMs. This was tacky. But what's crazy about that is then Laura goes to meet with Jessica and essentially tells Jessica to do the same thing to Jimmy.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That is exactly what I'm saying. I was like, pot meet kettle.
Yeah, it was wild. And I almost wonder if this conversation happened before the DM slide. No, because she read the DM slide to her. So she
Right.
knew. Yeah. And now I will say that what Laura told Jessica a much more subtle way to do it, which is what we were saying Sarah Ann should have done. Like, oh, just go look at his profile, add him as a friend, like keep it cute. They're not gonna, I think Laura knows that they're not gonna make it, but yeah, it just to me was very hypocritical to go tell your bestie to do the same thing some other girl just did to you.
Right, but also we know that Laura is not going to make it with Jeremy. So what's the difference again at this point
So
with
then we
encouraging
meet,
someone to do it?
yeah. So then we meet with her parents, and she is kind of shady about their relationship. Like we hear her telling Jeremy that she doesn't want a relationship like theirs, which she doesn't really elaborate on that more. We do see that they are a lot more quiet, and she's the opposite. Like she definitely wants a relationship where they can spit fire at each other and be witty back and forth. But her version of wit is definitely meaner than what I feel like you should be talking to your partner as. Like she's.
Yeah.
They were doing a flat floral arrangements, and she's like, she said something about like, oh, well, you didn't go to college, and it like, girl, what did that have to do with anything? She was literally questioning his intelligence just because he didn't go to college, and he came back with his comeback wasn't that great, but it was clear to me that he was hurt by her saying that and throwing that in his face, and I just don't know why she thinks that stuff like that is funny because it's really not cute.
Yeah. No, I don't think they have compatible sense of humors, and Laura gives Mean Girl. Although her Mean Girl ate in their final interaction together. It was cinematically beautiful.
It
In
was.
fact, shout out to the producers this season. Y'all are really snapping with the unveil of this. We were complaining about why 1 through 6, why 7 through 9. But honestly, this is brilliant
Yeah.
unveiling of all of the things that are happening and the twists and turns and how couples are progressing. So, and Jeremy and Laura's, what I foresee to be maybe one of the final scenes we see together. If it's not the final scene, it is definitely one of the final scenes that I think we'll see with them together. Laura is greeting Jeremy early in the morning. Jeremy has sunglasses on and a baseball cap, and Jeremy has stayed out until the wee hours of the morning, around 5 a.m., 5:30, something like that. Yeah, 5 a.m. And essentially, Laura is asking him where he was at and what happened. So Jeremy explains that he was on his way to the bar and he received a text that said that Sarah Ann was going to be there. So he almost turned back around. And then he realized that no one should stop him from doing what he wants to do. So when he got to the bar, they had a conversation. And then this conversation just kept on going until they were in the parking lot, but not the parking lot. They were in the alley behind the parking lot, around the bar, in a parking lot, in a car, in an alley, all of
As you
these things.
do. That's
Yeah. You
where you get
know,
the conversation.
whatever he's saying, it also comes up that Jeremy is trustworthy because he shares his location with Laura. So Laura is disinterested in this sort of trust. If you have to share your location, then I do not trust you. So you need to tell me where you were. And again, he reiterates that all these different areas around the bar. And then Laura says, I checked your location. You were in the area of Sarah Ann's home. So I'm going to ask you again, where were you? And Jeremy is floored at this point, and Laura walks out and scene.
That was a beautiful summary. The only thing I want to point out is that at one point Jeremy says, I didn't want to talk about this now.
Yes, I
Need to
forgot about that.
this leads me to believe they already had this conversation probably at 5 a.m. when he came home. and the producers made them redo it on film. But even when 5 o'clock in the morning, he must not have known still. She held that secret that she had actually checked it. And what we found out through amazing Reddit sleuths is that he left his phone in the car that was left at the parking lot at the bar in the alley, as you do. But his Apple Watch was still on. So his Apple Watch tracked his location.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
Wow. He thought he was 10 steps ahead and was not.
Yeah. And so the fact that like you went through all that to hide what you were doing, you fucked Sarah Ann. You had to have. Because what like if you are really trying to be on the up and up and I'm not doing anything, then why would you leave your phone in the car, sir?
See, I thought that the conversation, he didn't want to have it on camera because he would admit what was going to happen, but he didn't want to have it on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, Jeremy messed up. Laura, Jeremy,
I didn't really see it for y'all. So many other reasons, but this I think will be the end of them.
Yeah, I didn't really see it for y'all early, so this isn't winning me over even more.
I did love her mother and sister-in-law calling her out on the whole Hawaiian shirts thing, because that was just weird. Like, she does not like this man, and it had been very clear since they met. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was just the situation with the bean dip at the party and she just got the ick from that. But yeah, picking on somebody for the way they choose to dress when it's literally not terrible. Like, Hawaiian shirts are not are not like the worst fashion statement. And I feel like we didn't see him in a Hawaiian shirt even once, to be honest. I cannot remember it.
Right. And then the sister was like, her husband likes them and you should buy them. Everybody likes Hawaiian shirts. Apparently it's a thing. And that's really nice.
They're fun and like it's not hurting you at all. Right. So I was glad they called her out on that. I feel like they weren't going to make it regardless, but now with this whole situation, it's definitely going to be done. I do hope we get to see one final conversation with them, just because I want him to tell us that he fucked Sarah Ann. I want that to be like on screen. I want to see Sarah Ann meet Laura, and I want to see, because you know they always do that one scene where they all come together for a party. So if y'all are broken up before then, that's going to suck. I want to see that happen.
Yeah, well, I want to see Jessica and Jimmy seem to have a little one-off conversation as well that I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. So this couple, not going to make it for sure. So that means we're really down to like only two couples that may make it.
Yeah. Recap again, who are they? AD and Clay.
Johnny and Amy.
Yeah.
Really, yeah. And that's, you know, a big maybe.
Yeah, and what's ironic, I feel like this season had the most couples leave the pods.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're getting down to about two. Yeah. Unless Chelsea and Jimmy turn around.
Turn things around. So she just posted something to her stories today where you could see a man reflected in her sunglasses, and everyone's like, that man looks like Jimmy. It like, it does look like him. And so I'm like, oh God, did they say yes? Lord Jesus. And then of course, not like, basically there's a lot that's been coming out about these casts. Like, this cast just seems to have been trash. A few different people supposedly had partners during filming. The biggest one, the most notable of them, was Trevor, who his ex Natalia has posted all of these receipts of him texting her the moment they left filming, telling her about Chelsea, telling her all this, but being like, I still want to marry you. I wasn't going to really marry her, blah, blah, blah. Just all these things that are insane. I do have a post up on my page if y'all want to go see all the salacious details. It's nuts how deep this goes. Like, she met castmates during other, filming other things, because they were together. So she was going to parties for other castmates with him. And then I think that what like broke them up officially is Trevor is on Perfect Match too. And so he left to go film that while they're still together. I think that that was like the end. Cause she said that when the casting reached out to him about Love is Blind, they had just started talking. So they weren't really together yet. And so she didn't want to stop this as a, because it could be opportunity for them. They're both fitness, they're both into fitness. They're both like trainers and things, bodybuilders. So she was thinking like, oh, you go do this, build a big following, and then you come back to me and now we're together and we have our couples, you know, bodybuilding thing and we can grow fame off of that. So that was what she thought was going to happen. But then he goes on the Perfect Match too. And she's like, what? So.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Trevor, I didn't foresee that.
Yeah, that disappointed me because Trevor was like one of the few men on the show that I really liked and was rooting for. So the fact that he, and apparently he even had threatened to expose one of their intimate videos to her son if she came out and like told this story. So that's why she had waited so long to say anything, because she was scared. But then someone was like, well, if he does that, that's illegal. That's literally revenge porn. So don't be scared of that, because he will go to jail or be at least at the very least be fined heavily. So.
And also shunned by the world.
Yeah, exactly. He would lose all the little followers he's received. So. I don't know what's going to happen with that. I don't know if they're going to bring him back to the reunion. I believe they were either filming the reunion this weekend or they all flew to Los Angeles this weekend to film the reunion like tomorrow or something. But the reunion will be done filming soon and it will be live on, I believe you said March 13th.
I cannot wait.
March 13th feels like a long time away, but.
It's not though, because February ends this week and then we roll into March.
So did we have two more drops of episodes then? I guess,
I think
yeah.
More, yeah. But then they usually take a break.
Yeah, so I think it's this drop coming up, but then I think they're doing one episode of just the wedding.
12, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe that's what they're doing, and so we just got to wait for that. We'll see. I am so excited for the reunion because of all of the tea happening outside. I'm like, girl, they don't make reality stars like they used to because they are not abiding to their NDAs at all. they are talking.
Listen, and I'm listening.
Very good. It's very fascinating. I am enjoying it immensely. So thank you for all the tea, guys. We appreciate it. But at the end of the day, I hope that people are actually finding love, because otherwise the show is not going to keep, it's not going to continue if we just can see that it's all completely fake and people are just coming on there with girlfriends and boyfriends back home. Like, I don't want to watch that, you know?
Well, yeah, bring it back to the days of, we've had some great couples though, and we've had some great seasons. This one was something else. Mm-hmm. Let's just but we've had some great seasons, and hopefully we see some great couples at the end. And also, I don't give up on couples until the very last drop, because I wasn't a big Lydia and Milton fan, but when I saw them together at the reunion, I was like, wow, top 10. So, you know, maybe
they're still together too. And I love that. It's like, I was rooting for them to fail from the beginning.
Yeah. When you see people a year into marriage, that can shift things too. So I'm excited to see up until the reunion. I'm also ready to see who gets across that altar and it says I do and all of those things. So it, although there's only a few episodes left, there is a long way to go, and it's any man's game, right? Maybe Laura and Jeremy will pop back out together. I hope not, but hey, who knows?
Yeah, maybe we'll get another Zach and Bless situation where he'll go pick Sarah Ann, and then him and Sarah Ann go to the altar.
Or maybe Matthew will pop back out with Amber. It could be any person's game at any point.
Oh, apparently Amber blocked him. They are not cool at all. So okay. That's another story that I really want to be told. Like, why? Because AD and him are fine. So I want to know what happened with Amber for real, that they are not cool. I just have a lot of questions. But
well, maybe Amber just internalized it more, handled it a certain way, because, you know, AD is what I would presume to be a married woman now. So she's like, oh, whatever. Bye. Yeah. We're cool. We could be fine. But Amber's like, you broke my heart.
My time.
Yeah, wasted my time. So I think it could just be perspective as well. And maybe he also tried to love bomb her again. Sometimes you just gotta get rid of these people in your life.
Well, as he was leaving the show, he said, I'm gonna go find Amber. So I wonder if he did, and fuckery ensued.
Right. He was like, ah. But yeah. Yes, I think we need to bring back
multiple people during that finale. I need more perspectives. I have lots of questions for lots of people.
Yep, agreed. All right, Bree, thank you so much for joining me again. I can't wait to finish this season with you. You are the absolute best person to talk this crazy shit through with.
Absolutely. This has been a pleasure.
All right, we'll talk soon.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for joining me, and a special shout out to my guests. All of their social media and page info can be found in the show notes. If you liked what you heard, please like, subscribe, and follow this podcast and my Instagram page at kickingitwith_Rae. That's R-A-E. Theme song was created by Chad Milner, and producing and editing was all done by me. See you next week.